topic today on Preps Today with John Millay has me intrigued. The fastest sprinter in Minnesota. Did you put that in there because it's one of us?
It's not you and it's not me, buddy. Mm. No, it's somebody. There's a third person at work here.
We podium, though, right?
What's that?
We podium, right?
We have seen podiums.
We have been in the same room as podiums.
Yes, we have. Yes,
all right, well, we will reveal that mystery. We'll talk about Winona, a cool little town. We'll talk about adapted bowling and adapted softball. John will give some coaching updates, and we will thank a ref and give you John's MVT, Most Valuable Teammate of the Week, here on Preps Today with John Millay. This is part of TalkNorth.com. If you like the show, please subscribe to your favorite podcast app. It's free. It's the easiest way to listen. Check out all of our other shows. We have the best sports lineup in town, including this show. John Krasinski on the Wolves, myself, Lavelle, and Roy Smalley on the Twins. All kinds of great stuff. Mike Grimm on the Gophers. Outdoor content, variety content. Check it all out. Subscribe to the shows you like. We do appreciate it. We're coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studios. We want to thank our longtime sponsor, Pizza Barn in Princeton. Also, Bay to Bay Boat Club. A great time of year to start getting involved with boats. So let's find out who is the fastest sprinter in Minnesota.
Yeah, Jim. Here's the story. I spent 6 hours on the road Tuesday. I went to Worthington. That's 3 hours each way for me for the 70th annual Trojan Relays, and it was a great day. I can report to travelers there's some serious road construction already out there on I-35. You know, if you're going through Faribault, it's one lane. Take your time. And I-90, there's a stretch going west from Albert Lea. Same deal. Take your time. We've all done this before. But it was a great day to drive. Clearly, I enjoy driving. So 6 hours in the car, that's not a big deal for me. And I didn't realize till I think the morning of the meet before I left, I saw a note that this was the 70th Trojan Relays in Worthington. Now, we've had a state boys high school track meet for 101 years. 1923 was the first. Girls started in the 70s. But I don't know of a high school track meet in this state that's been around for more than 70 years. In fact, I posed that question on Twitter. Got zero responses. I mean, this meet in Worthington, this may be the oldest continuous high school track meet in the state. We don't know that, but let's go with that. Anyway, it's a great meet. I've been there before a few years ago. It's a great facility. The stadium at Worthington High School used to be pretty standard old school grass, track, nothing to write home about. A few years ago, they totally tore this place up and redid it, and it's a show place. It's one of my favorite stadiums for football. You know, for football, I'm sure it's great. For soccer, for track, it's phenomenal. They've got a great 9-lane track. They've got turf. The areas for the throws and the jumps are phenomenal. There are certainly high school stadiums with more seats, but I don't know if there's a better facility around. It's really something. But my main focus for driving 6 hours was to interview the fastest female sprinter in the state. She's also very young, and I've talked about her the last couple weeks here. Bren Bakken, a ninth grader from Hills Beaver Creek, which is in extreme southwestern Minnesota. I'd seen her in person before when I've been at meets. People would say, hey, you know, last year I remember a coach from another school kind of tapping me on the shoulder. Hey, John, turn around. See that kid? That's the eighth grader from Hills. And boy, is she going to be something. And she really is. Right now, she owns the fastest time in the 100 meters of all female runners in Minnesota, regardless of class. We have three classes in high school track, and she's from one of the tiniest schools. I think the enrollment's about 115 in the high school. But she ran a 11.9 at the Hamlin Elite Meet to win that. That's where she kicked the door down. She'd been, you know, well known at least in that part of the state before. And here's all she did at this meet in Worthington. She won the 100, she won the 200, she won the long jump, and ran the anchor leg on the winning 4x100 relay. And Hills Beaver Creek, the girls also won the team title. I didn't know this until I'd kind of gone into the weeds on this story and talked to the coach on the phone. Her school does not have a track. They have nowhere to practice track other than she told me we have a high jump pit And that's really it. And then Rex Metzger, the coach, told me down in Worthington, they've kind of cobbled together circles to throw a shot in the discus, but they don't have a track. So I said, how do you practice, you know, sprinting? And basically, the way I understood it, they do it indoors. They lay down carpet over the gym floor, they set up blocks, and they practice their starts. That's really the extent of it. So it's pretty incredible. And the track team, the boys and girls, it's a track school. They're really good. You know, they're known as a 9-player football school. They've been on a good run there. But so I was asking Rex down there in Worthington, so without a track, without any, you know, how does a pole vaulter practice without any place to practice the pole vault, much less sprinters? He said that's what the early season meets are for. They can go and compete, and you know, maybe when the competition's over, if you're a long jumper, you hang around and practice long jumping if you have time. I don't know. And Brent, I asked Brent about her spikes. I said, do you wear your spikes when you practice starts? She said, no, I only wear them at meets. There's no place to wear track spikes at practice for these kids. So they go in the gym, they unroll some carpet to protect the gym floor and work on their starts. And this is not just a track kid. She's a volleyball player, a basketball player. Her school is so small, it doesn't have softball, but she plays club softball in the summer. It's just a tiny school, a farm kid. I got a nice note from her dad. I posted the story just yesterday on John's Journal. Got a really nice email from her dad, Jay, who's a farmer down there, an alumnus of Hills Beaver Creek. So if you want to read more about Bryn Bach, and it's quite remarkable, go to John's Journal at mshsl.org. There's a couple pictures of Bryn, and it's pretty cool, Jim.
Well, we have become accustomed to just fabulous high school athletic facilities.
Yeah.
And which is great. We want our kids to have nice things. We want them to, you know, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but,
right.
You know, John, you and I, we've spent so much time in our career talking to, you know, Dominican baseball players who grew up without a glove.
Yes.
And I remember Daniil Hunter, the great defensive end. He grew up in Jamaica. His workout routine was he would go out in the morning, he'd ride his bike, he'd swim, he'd climb trees. I mean, you know, there are ways to do it. The facilities are nice. Yeah. We like them, but great athletes find a way.
They sure do. And Bryn Bakken is a great athlete. And she's not even halfway through her high school career. You know, this time she ran in the 100 at Hamlin is the 15th fastest time in Minnesota history for girls running the 100. So, and she's a ninth grader. You know, at the end of the season, she'll be halfway through her high school track career. So she's going to be an athlete to watch for 3 years yet.
That's one of the many reasons I love a show. You put people on my radar. All right, let's get to Lights Out in Winona.
Yeah, this is another track thing. This was a couple of weeks ago. It was really weird. It was really memorable. I think it was very special. This was at Paul Giel Field in Winona during a true team section track meet. This was one of those, I think it was a Friday night. There was weather rolling through, and they had lightning delays. You know, every time there's visible lightning, whatever the event is outdoors, you have to stop for half an hour. And every time, if you see another lightning bolt, you restart that clock. So they had some delays. This meet ran late. And the final race of the day, the night, late at night, was the boys' 4x400 relay. While those teams are out there running around the track, the lights went out. Just bang, no lights. And I discovered later they're automatically set to go off at 10 o'clock. And the meet would have ended long before that if not for the lightning delays. So what do you do? You're carrying a baton. You're running 400 meters. You know, you're going to hand it to another kid. How do you prepare for that? Well, you really don't, but what happened was pretty neat. All the other athletes who weren't running this race from all the other schools basically were standing on the infield, you know, inside the track. What do kids have? What do humans have? Cell phones. So everybody turned on their cell phone lights and illuminated the last couple of legs of the race. People in the stands were turning on their phones. I saw video. A couple of people sent me video. It was really something because here's a relay race. We've all seen that. Kids are running. People are cheering. And then, bam, it's just brutally dark. And you hear, you know, people, what in the, you know, you hear all that stuff. And then you start seeing these lights come blinking on the infield. And again, if you go to John's Journal, I posted a great story about this by Pat Ruff of the Rochester Post Bulletin. And his story includes video, a couple of videos. And it's just incredible. You know, it just I've been doing this so long, Jim, it just reminded me, you know, that the phrase, just when you think you've seen it all, you haven't. I've been to 1,000 track meets. I've never seen that. But, you know, and if this were when we were in high school, what do? There's no cell phones. Who has a flashlight in their pocket? Well, now everybody. So that was pretty neat. I think if you go to John's Journal, find that story. Even if all you do is look at the video, it's pretty cool. And I got a couple other track news here. This is on the college level. A couple of former Minnesota high school stars they're doing big things. I wrote about Shayna Zinter when she was a multiple track state champion at Concordia Academy. Now she's at Wisconsin. Last week, she became the Big Ten champion in the heptathlon. That's a big deal. I remember talking to her in her high school days, and she had decided on Wisconsin. She was going to focus on the heptathlon, and there she is, a Big Ten champion. Also at the Big Ten Outdoor Championships, a former Piers multi-sport superstar, Matthias Algeren. I hope I pronounced that close. He was fourth in the men's decathlon, so that's a couple of multi-sport superstar Minnesota high school athletes doing big things in the Big Ten.
That's fantastic. Yeah. All right, we're going to get to adapted bowling and adapted softball coaching updates. We're going to thank a ref. We're going to tell you who John's most valuable teammate is this week. First, though, we want to thank our longtime sponsors, Jody Stay and Pizza Barn in Princeton.
You got it, Jim, right there in downtown Princeton. The pizza of the month for May, we've talked about it. We're halfway through the month. It's the Hot and Poppered. It includes a cream cheese sour cream base, jalapenos, bacon bits, jalapeno cheese curds, freshly shredded mozzarella. After it's baked, they add jalapeno poppers. Make sure to stop in. Get that pizza of the month throughout May. And those big, beautiful Pizza Barn food trucks, they are out now in full force. This week alone, they've either already been to or they're headed to St. Cloud, Zimmerman, Anoka, Plymouth, Bloomington, Cannon Falls and Chisago Lakes. I was in Cannon Falls yesterday. If you want to drive from Princeton to Cannon Falls to serve pizza, you're doing it right. Go to the Pizza Barn Facebook page. You can see all the details of the upcoming visits by the food trucks, as well as the Pizza Barn's daily specials, weekly specials. Thanks again to our good friend Jody Stay, everybody at the Pizza Barn in downtown Princeton. They've been part of this podcast for a long time, and we absolutely love every one of them.
No doubt. Thank you, Jody. We do appreciate it. We also want to remind you we're coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studios, and we want you to know more about Bay to Bay Boat Club.
Bay to Bay Boat Club offers a limited number of season-long memberships in our private club and half-day or full-day pontoon boat rentals on Lake Minnetonka. Members have the opportunity to play on luxurious pontoon boats as well as a variety of well-appointed deck boats, speed boats, and offshore boats. Our daily pontoon boats are deluxe, custom-built boats with many amenities and comfortable seating for up to 14 people. Bay to Bay Boat Club, Country Club Boating, 24 years in business and voted Minnesota's best 3 years in a row. Please visit us at baytobayboatclub.com for more information. We look forward to welcoming you this summer.
All right, let's get to adapted bowling and adapted softball.
Yeah, we're in back-to-back weekends of state tournaments in those sports, Jim. Pretty busy time for the adapted community here. We had bowling last week, and I spent some time there at the adapted bowling tournament at Bolero in Brooklyn Center, which is a very short drive from the State High School League office. It's always fun to go there. It's crowded. It's loud. It's just filled with so much joy, so much support. The kids have a great time. It's just a riot. And now this weekend, Friday and Saturday, it'll be adapted softball at Chanhassen High School. They do a wonderful job of hosting this event. I'll be there either one day or both days. I can't wait. It's just so much fun.
No doubt about it. Fantastic. And thanks for including that in this report. Let's get to coaching updates.
Yeah, we've talked about Mike Randolph, who was the boys hockey coach at Duluth East forever and ever, ended up at St. Thomas Academy, finished last season tied for the most career wins in boys hockey. And then his contract wasn't renewed by St. Thomas Academy. At that point, Mike, who's, I think, 72, he promised he's going to coach again, and it did not take long. He's the new head coach at Northern Lakes. This is a co-op team with kids from Aiken, Crosby-Ironton, Pequot Lakes and Pine River Bacchus. Boy, those are great towns. That's a beautiful part of the state up there. Mike Randolph has won 707 games in his career. That ties him with Lauren Grasso, Lauren Grasso of Rochester Mayo at the top of the list. So if Northern Lakes wins a game next season, which I'm sure they will, they'll win many games. Mike will take over that by himself. So it'll be an interesting story to follow. Some congratulations are in order. Tartan baseball coach Kurt Russell recorded his 300th career win this week. Up in Esco, baseball coach Ben Haugen also reached 300 wins. And Belle Plaine baseball coach Pat Schultz earned his 200th varsity win. Congrats to them. And in boys tennis, congrats to Kyle Collins from Waseca. He just recently captured his 200th win as a boys tennis coach. So congrats to all those coaches on all those milestones.
Yes, congratulations. And now let's thank a ref.
Yeah, we had history. I got an email from somebody up north this week. On Tuesday, Gretchen Hyink and Ann Campbell, they both live in Grand Rapids, they umpired a varsity softball game between Cass Lake Bena and Hill City Northland. It was the first all-female varsity softball officiating crew in northern Minnesota. And that surprised me. I would have thought that it would have happened by now. It hasn't, but it has now. It's great. They posed for a picture with both teams afterwards. What a great example for those young females on the softball teams. I don't know Gretchen, but I've known Ann Campbell for many years. She retired a couple years ago as the athletic director at Grand Rapids High School. She's one of the absolutely greatest people I know. And it was great to see a photo of the two of them and then another photo with both teams. Those are on Twitter. I've posted them on the High School League Facebook page. It's just a great thing. So congrats to Gretchen and Ann for making history.
Excellent. All right. Let's get to John's capper here. Most valuable teammate.
The capper. It's always a treat to do this, Jim. Cadence Thorstenson is a junior hockey player at Detroit Lakes. She's a true leader and teammate in every way. She supports her teammates as well as her classmates throughout the year. Cadence gives 100% of herself in everything she does. She has a positive attitude and infectious smile on her face all the time. She's a pure example of a champion in life, and we're proud to congratulate Cadence Thorstenson of Detroit Lakes on being a most valuable teammate.
Another great show from John. Thank you to John. Thanks to Pizza Barn in Princeton and Jody Stay. Thanks to Bay to Bay Boat Club. We appreciate you listening. If you like the show, tell people about it. We appreciate it and share it on social media. We'll be back next week for more great stuff from John. Thanks for listening to TalkNorth.com.